What's up, guys? This is your girl Cream, and I want to welcome you to Cream's Worlds. And I have a special guest here. Just follow him on Twitter. You will know him as Vino Hams, but he's just Vino to me. So I had the privilege of sitting down with Vino today and interviewing him in regards to his upcoming, well, actually, it's not an upcoming project. He just dropped it. It's Myself as I Know It. And Vino, you want to say hi to the people?
What's going on, everybody in Cream's World? How's everyone doing today?
That sounds good to me. When other people say what's going on in Cream's World, that makes it sound even more special. So, before we really get deep into the interview, you want to tell the people a little bit about the album Myself as I Know It, just to give them just a little preview of what they're going to hear before they actually stream it or download it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, Myself as I Know It, it's a real personal project. It's a lot about, different obstacles people come at in life and, different stuff that people get thrown their way and, different stuff that I've, been thrown my way as an artist and unsigned artist coming up in Cleveland and whatnot, and just, everything that, really goes on in my life. And when I set out to make the project, I wanted it to be like a real personal project, and I was kind of like, if I make this too personal, I don't know if, too many people would like really get it or mess with it. So it was kind of a project, just kind of really, getting that fine balance and making, enough songs about me, but also make it relatable to people, everyday people that can listen to it and be like, wow, like this dude goes through the same stuff that, that I go to on an everyday basis. And, that's really like what I, listen for. Like when I'm listening to other artists, I listen for stuff that, they say, like, man, like, I just sit there and relate to what another artist is saying or what they have said and be like, damn, I did go through that and he went through that as well. So I really wanted to make it like real relatable, but also let people know who I am, and that's why I got the name Myself as I Know It.
Okay, cool. And I can relate to what you're saying, because to be honest with you, like, I don't want to say everyone, because that's kind of broad, but a lot of people like to go out and have fun, and you have your party songs, you have your club songs, but to be honest with you, some of my favorite rap or hip-hop or songs, period, are songs that actually paint a picture and tell a story, and it always makes it easier to support an artist and to become a fan of an artist if I feel like I know them personally. I mean, it might sound, well, you're a fan of music, so you might be able to relate to what I'm saying, but sometimes you have artists, you have artists where you feel like you know them, but you've never met them before.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I totally can agree with that, and, I can also have my party songs on the album, too,
Right.
Stuff that people can, get hyped to and, get excited about, but, I also have the songs that are, a little bit more darker and a little bit more, kind of personal, and I feel like that I made them real relatable, and really open to other people, and, other people would really get it, other than just, like, making a whole song, like, just about me and, like, being too personal about it, so it was kind of hard finding that balance. And, throughout the album, it's kind of like life in general, you go through ups and downs, but I feel like that's a lot of what the album is. It's like a series of highs and lows throughout the whole entire album as you go through it.
Right. Well, I would have to tell you, I was totally surprised when I listened to the album. I was totally surprised. I know that you've been waiting for me to do the review and tell you what I felt about the album. I actually like it, and I don't want you to take it as I thought it was going to suck, because that's not what I'm trying to say. it's just, like every time I talk to you, anytime you send me music and I listen to it, it just gets better and better and better. So for those of you out there in Cream's World, I basically met Vino at the beginning of his career of being an artist, and he has grown so much, and I'm like really proud of this guy and the growth that he's had. And every time you send me a track, it just gets better and better. And this album was, I like it. I really like it. Like, I'm really, really proud of you. And I feel like you put enough on this album to where it would make people want to go back and try to find some of your previous work. So if you guys go back and you Google Vino, or you go to his Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram, which we're going to give you guys at the end of the interview, and you find some of his other music, you can see the difference, and you can see that he really, like, took being an artist serious and sat down and really tried to, like, improve his craft. So, I know I'm talking about you in third person, but, like...
I definitely totally agree with that, though. I mean, you know, you really did witness me from the start. You were managing an artist at the time that, you know, took place on my mixtape, The Late Show, for my very first project.
Right.
And, you know, I always try to, you know, keep you updated with everything I was doing because, you know, you generally care about the music scene in the Cleveland area. And, you know, I know that you would always give me good feedback and whatnot. I could count on you to, you know, provide that to me. So I was always like, you know, you're always in my list of people like, oh, I gotta send this to Cream, you know, right. This is my new shit, I gotta send it to Cream for sure. So, you know, to hear, you know, somebody like you to say, you know, how much I've improved, it really means a lot. And, you know, I know that you wouldn't, you know, gas somebody and just say that just to say it. You know, I know you're real, like,
no, not at all. Like, and what I have to say about the album as well, and I think I mentioned this to you before, when you sent a track to me, and I think I can't remember who was featured on there, but what I will say, the other aspect of the album that I'm really proud of you for is you have some pretty heavy hitters on the album, and you actually hold your own. Like, you actually hold your own, because everyone knows how I feel about Soul. Like, Soul Crisis, I yes. And you have him on the album a couple of times, and you actually stand your ground on those tracks that you have him featured on. And I was really proud of you. Like, I was listening to the album, and it got to the last track, and I was like, oh, that was the last track. So I completely listened to it from beginning to end, and then I played it again. The production on the album is great. The artwork is great. Like, I really think that this is a solid project that you have. And again, like, I'm really, really proud of you. And you know that I wouldn't just blow smoke up your butt for no reason.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, I mean, like, as far as the features go, you know, I was really, you know, selective on a lot of the artists that I featured on there. A lot of the artists, you know, that I did, actually all the artists I did feature on there, I have a tremendous amount of respect for. I've done, you know, multiple shows with all those artists in the past, and, you know, I really felt that, you know, they really messed with me on the music side when, you know, there were a lot of people in Cleveland when I was, you know, kind of making my way up that, you know, they show me respect out in public, but I don't think I really felt respected as an artist. And, mm-hmm. you know, these guys like Zup and Soul Crisis, you know, some of these guys that were, like, real big when I started coming out, like, in this big music scene, you know, still are, you know, they were, like, real acceptive of me, and they, you know, would always, you know, say, oh, you could do this better, or, you know, they would, like, provide me with, like, little tidbits. So when he came to making the album, and I, you know, I really spent a lot of time on this album, like, probably, I'd say, like, a year and a half, really, getting, mm-hmm. like, all the production together and really getting all my ideas for the songs and who I wanted to feature on what song and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really took my time on this, and I feel a lot of artists still rush stuff out just to get it out. When it's, like, really, you should be doing the complete opposite. Like, it's better to take your time and have a well-rounded solid project than to have a rush project that could have been something great, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I totally understand where you're coming. I understand your reasoning behind that, because I feel that a lot of artists make that mistake because they're so anxious to put something out, and it is, they don't plan it properly. The production isn't always the best. You know, the artwork doesn't look that good, and you can tell that they didn't really put that much time into it, and then they get upset because they feel like no one's taking them serious as an artist. But what you have to understand is, it's kind of like girls who complain that there aren't any good guys, but they present themselves as whores. It's kind of like, no, they're good guys, but most of the time, you know, you know, right. It's like, there are good guys, but you're presenting yourself as a whore. So the guys are treating you the way that you're presenting yourself. So it's the same with artists. You're presenting your project as if no one should really take it seriously. So why should they take it seriously? So,
And that's, like, kind of what went behind the whole decision of putting it on iTunes and Amazon, it's on every digital media outlet there is, and, I thought about putting it out for free, but, I looked at them, like, well, I have 2 free mixtapes I put out already, and, I don't know about, a lot of other artists, but I spend a lot of time and a lot of money into, making my projects. Some artists have the luxury of knowing a lot about the mixing aspect of it, and, production aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Well, like me, I'm starting to get in production a little bit, but as far as, mixing and mastering, I have an engineer that does a phenomenal job. His name's Jay Bradley from Field Day, and he really, stepped up his game. I've been working with him for, the past 3 years, really, and, I feel real comfortable with how, he does it, because I'm able to really focus on, my part in the booth and have him focus on the opposite part. So when I get in there, I'm like, oh, man, I messed up. I got to go run around and, click pause and redo that. I can have my engineers that sit right there, redo that. And, I just really feel comfortable with that. So, at one point, you got to start seeing a return on your investment.
You do.
A lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of energy into this. So I just thought it was right for me at this point to put it on iTunes and, put it out there for people to purchase. And another thing that goes along with that, I feel a lot of people that, are fans of my music and, people in general, I've heard people just say they experience problems with, downloading music from some of these, free websites and stuff, and everybody always asks me, why aren't you on iTunes and stuff? So I just thought it was, easier for everybody, and, for people to pay $10 for an album, it really, I don't think it's that much of, a huge investment for somebody to do that, and, from what I've been hearing back, people say it's well worth the money.
I think that it is. I really think that it's worth putting $10 on it, honestly, and I feel like, just want to kind of backtrack, but still in the same lines of, girls want a good guy, but they act like a whore. It goes the same way again with you taking yourself serious as an artist. And, when you're saying, hey, I put money into my project and I spent time on the, I pay for my cover, I pay for engineering, I pay for studio time. I felt like it was worth being on iTunes. There are a lot of artists that I feel miss that mark when it comes to their music. I don't understand why people feel as though people shouldn't purchase something that they just spent hundreds, maybe a thousand or thousands of dollars on. Why would you want to spend all this money on something just to give it away for free? And I feel like people appreciate things that they buy more than things they get for free. And I try to explain this equation to a lot of artists that do have, because a lot of artists will call their albums mixtapes when in actuality they're albums. It's like none of the beats are industry beats. You got a cover made, you went to the studio, you had it mixed and mastered, and you're calling it a mixtape, and then you're standing at the club giving it out for free. And I told artists, if you press up 500 copies of your album and you're giving it away, even if you don't feel comfortable asking people for money face to face, even if you sold your album for a dollar when you're passing it out, you just made $500. And trust me, if I gave someone my dollar for their mixtape, I'm not going to throw it on the ground because I just paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. It goes with, making that investment. People invest, that $10 into your album and whatnot, and, when they purchase it, and, when they, listen to it, and, even if they like a few songs off of it, or like, if they like the whole album, they feel like, there's a sense of, wow, this is really, worth my money, this is really, awesome that, I put this investment in this artist, and, in my scenario, it's, people see me on an everyday basis, and they're like, wow, your album's on iTunes, and I'm like, yeah. For the simple fact, that, anybody out there in the world, it's a release all across the 7 continents. Anybody in the world can go on there and download my album.
Right.
That is just, mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been a week since it released, and it's still, I don't think it's really set in just yet that, people from all over the country can go and, download my album. All over the world, really, can go and download my album. It's so surreal.
Right. And it's real dope at the same time. And then, like you said, people who know you personally, it's just like, when you have fans that have grown with you and grown with your music, it kind of makes them feel proud because it's like, hey, I've been a fan of this guy since before you knew who he was. And look, he's on iTunes now. Like, it kind of gives your fans bragging rights. Like, kind of the same way it was, like, how MGK's fans grew up with him. And he's getting all these awards and he's on commercials and he has all these endorsements. And his fans feel like those awards and endorsements and commercials belong to them. They're like, hey, look, we're on TV. And it makes you really proud because you knew where that person came from. And just to see them progress to something bigger and better, it just makes you really proud. And it makes your true fans want to continue to support you. And I just really feel like that's the disconnect with some artists when it comes to their fan base. Like, I don't really think that a lot of artists know who their fan base is. Sometimes I think people just go in the studio and rap because they feel like this is something that they can do, so they just rap. But if you don't feel like your music can be sold or no one's gonna buy your album for $10, you need to go back into the lab and sit down and rethink a few things and explain to yourself why you feel that you don't have enough supporters to actually want to buy your products.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And I mean, like, you know, it'll surprise a lot of people. Like, I mean, I've seen people that, you know, post pictures of them, like, buying the album that I haven't even talked to for, like, a while. And, like, you know, even with, like, you know, me and Zup, we work close as, you know, both artists here in Cleveland. Even a lot of his fans have, like, you know, bought my album. And a lot of, you know, my fans went and bought his album. And, you know, I had a lot of feedback. People were sending me, you know, all these texts about how awesome Zup's album was. And then there were a lot of people that were, like, posting about, you know, how awesome my album was that were fans of his. And they were, like, you know, one fan in particular posted, like, I got my copy, where is yours? And I'm just like, wow, like, I met this person one time, you know, one of the Zup shows that I'd even perform at, and they went out and they bought my album, and they're talking about, you know, how, you know, it's a great project, and, you know, it's really, really, really awesome. You know, last Tuesday was just so awesome going on Facebook and seeing, like, 12 notifications and going back on, like, a couple hours later and seeing, like, 15 notifications of people posting pictures of downloading their album off of iTunes.
Right.
It was a really great experience that, you know, every artist really should encounter and should, you know, really, you know, be able to witness. So, I mean, if you're an artist, my advice to you out there is, you know, once you got, like, a mixtape or two under your belt, start putting your stuff out to be able to be bought, because people will respect you for it. They'll appreciate it more. As long as you're putting out quality music, the sound is good, and that you invest a lot of time, energy, heart, and soul into, people will respect you for that, and they'll appreciate it.
That was a good... Hey, that almost sounds like the end of the interview. But, I'm kidding. But, no, that's really good advice. And shout out to Zup, man. Like, I've known Zup for, I don't know, 4 years? Three, four, I don't know, for a couple years now. And I'm really, really, really proud of him, you know, because when I first met Zup, he was doing a lot of behind-the-scenes things, and he was doing a lot of production, and he always talked about his love for music. And just to see how huge he is right now, and just with Rover Fest, and, you know, he's going to be performing on the main stage of the Ohio Hip Hop Awards, and the way that you guys' friendship has developed, like, I'm really proud of both of you guys. I'm proud of every good thing that's been coming you guys' way. And, you know, speaking of you and Zup, I know you guys have, the Kush Nerds, like, this is your thing, you know. I know, like, Rocky has the whole ASAP movement, and, you know, Wiz has his movement, so you guys have the Kush Nerds. So, it's you, Zup, DJ Swerve, is there anyone else?
But yeah, Patrizio Kennedy, he's the lead lyricist for the Dangerous Colors.
Oh, yeah.
Like, pop, like, punk fusion band, and, you know, really, it's like, you know, four of us, we kind of, like, you know, it started with, you know, Patrizio and Swerve. You know, they kind of, like, when they started out in Kent, and that's actually, I met them through my engineer, Brad, and, you know, they were, like, always up in this Kushner and shit, and then, like, you know, one day, I remember Patrizio tweeted, he goes, oh, Vino's officially Kushner or something like that, so I'm like, all right, cool, like, I'm down, you know, and, like, you know, it started up as kind of, like, a little, just, like, a little, you know, internet thing at first, and then we we, you know, we got some shirts made up, and, you know, we really started, you know, taking this Kushner's shit, like, seriously, like, you know, like, we could, you know, this is, like, our brand, you know, this is our label, and this is what, you know, we're gonna do. We all, you know, once we all started working cohesively as a unit, and started putting out good music, like, the Nowhere to Go that made, you know, DJ Swerve, DJ Swerve's project, DJ Steph Lost, and also got on DJ Booth. You know, once we accomplished that with one song, we're like, okay, we got something here. You know, I like the way we work, and we, you know, we're able to bounce ideas off each other and, you know, not really, like, sit there and get mad at each other because we think we can improve on this, or, you know, we're all about making ourselves better. And, you know, when Seth put out his project, I was just like, man, like, this is so awesome. Like, I can't wait to put out my project. And, you know, it, you know, you don't compete with your team, you eat with your team.
Exactly.
And, you know, you really just sit there and you just, you know, you feed off of each other. And, you know, I think it makes it better to work with, like, a cohesive group like that, because you all push each other. And it's like, Zup just dropped his album. Damn, now I gotta drop, my album's gonna drop before summer ends, you know? Like,
right.
So,
right, so I'm hearing some little whispers. Well, you know, I'm cream, so I get the inside word on things. I hear some little whispers that there's a Kushner's project that's coming out. What is it, at the beginning of next year?
A little bit after the beginning of next year is what we're shooting for. I know we leaked a little info on Twitter to one day, and we kind of just been, we've been out here, you know, whispering in people's ears. But yeah, it's in the production stage right now, and you know, we're really, you know, we're really excited to get in there and, you know, really start working on this, you know, and, you know, start to, you know, get it knocking out. We got, a lot of stuff in the works with it right now already, so we're going to get ready to start knocking some stuff out here shortly, and, we're excited, man, you know, we're excited to put this out, you know, at the cohesive unit, because I feel that, like, between the Dangerous Colors and, you know, Zup, as well as DJ Swerve, like, all of our fans together, like, we bring them all in as one, and they all really support all of us.
Right.
And it's really cool how we, like, brought this together, and how we did events like Summer Rock that was, like, the highest grossing event in rock bar history, and we're able to put on, you know, events in the city where we can get a lot of people to come out to and really support us, and it's just awesome, man. It's really cool. And, you know, shout out to Sean as well, Dangerous Colors. He's also my backup behind me on stage. He's the one always drumming behind me, going crazy and providing that extra energy. So, you know, shout out to him as well, the Dangerous Colors and stuff and Swerve. You know, it's kind of like all of us, we're really just the Kushner's, and that's what we represent, and that's, you know, what we're here to, you know, stand for. And, you know, I think people will get a better idea of what this Kushner movement is all about in the upcoming months.
Well, you know that I'm always here, and you know that I'll always continue to support you, and I'll help push anything that the Kushner's needs me to help push. And you guys are always welcomed in the Cream's world. So before we go, I definitely want to let all the listeners know that you want to go to iTunes, Bandcamp, Amazon, Google Play, and look for Vino. And the name of the album is Myself As I Know It. You can also go to YouTube, and he has a new video that just dropped maybe like a couple weeks ago. Was it like a couple weeks or a month ago? It's called, it's Cleveland, right? Is it called Cleveland?
Back to Cleveland. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I was real proud of that video. It was the second video I've shot as an artist. The first one that I did was the follow-up, which was from all my mixtape, which dropped actually in August last year. I dropped that August 1st, almost a year ago. A little over a year ago. So, you know, for me to put out an album within that year, you know, I stopped with a mixtape. That was really dope, too. So make sure you go to AudioMac and check out, you know, just look for me on there, Vino, and you'll find the follow-up on there, along with a few of my singles, too. The Back to Cleveland video, I want to shout out to Genius Films. They did a great job. They're doing major work in this city right now. If you need a video, you definitely need to holler at them.
Exactly. So, again, guys, the album is called Myself As I Know It. And the video is called Back to Cleveland, and we've been talking to Vino today. So, Vino, you want to go ahead and give everyone your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, website, any way that they can get in touch with you, find, you know, some old tracks, or find out if you have any upcoming shows or parties or whatnot.
Oh, yeah, for sure, definitely. Well, first and foremost, I think Twitter, I'll use that one first because everyone's on Twitter. It's twitter.com, and then you just follow me on there. It's at Vino Hands. It's VenoHamz. It's also the same on Facebook. If you look me up, it's facebook.com/VenoHamz. You can also find me on Bandcamp. You can go to vino.com or vino.bandcamp.com and find me on there. You can find me on youtube.com/vinolive. That has all my videos on there that I've done and whatnot. Audio Mac, which is a great website for artists to upload full projects and also make them available for streaming downloads. That's audiomac.com/artist/vino. I'm on reverbation.com/vino216, soundcloud.com/vino, and then Instagram, I'm Vino Grams. So it's just like Twitter, like Vino Hams, but it's Vino Grams, VenoGramz. Pretty much think that I've covered all the bases on that. What do you think? I don't think I left anything out, did I?
No, I don't think you left anything out. Nope, you gave everybody everything. And if they weren't able to write all that down, I'm going to post it up on my website. So you guys can go to welcometocreamsworld.com and get all that information. And if you came to the site and that's how you listen to the interview, then you already know. But I'm going to post up the album and the links to iTunes, Bandcamp, and Amazon and Google Play, so people can go in and support Vino. Support him. It's only $10. And I'm going to also post up that Back to Cleveland video. And I want you guys to make sure you like the video and you put comments. Like, that's really important. The views are cool, but artists want to know, like, if you like it, do you hate it, do you think it's mediocre? They really want feedback. So make sure you go directly to the video. Like I said, I'm going to post it up on my site. And if you're on the site already, then you already know that it's posted. But make sure you give them some love or thumbs up, thumbs down, however you feel. It is what it is. You watched it, so it doesn't matter if you hate it. So,
Yeah, definitely. I think it's hilarious because, like, I'm looking at it now. I got about 11 comments. They're all positive. I got 28 thumbs up and I got 4 thumbs down. So people are starting to hate me, so I'm doing something right.
Exactly. And it's like, you know what? You can thumbs down my video. At least you took time out to watch it. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's I feel like it's still support. Whether you thumbs it up or thumbs it down, you still supported me because something made you come to my link and watch me. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, for sure. I totally agree with that. I don't even get mad at that. I'm just like, all right, well, 28 people liked it and 4 people hated it. Oh, well.
Right.
28 people liked it. I outweighed the majority. You know, I got the majority. I was
fine. Exactly. So I appreciate you for sitting down with me today and letting the people out in Cream's World know a little bit about Vino.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me, Cream. You know, as always, it's always an honor. You know, I've been on your show before, so I'm sure I'll be popping up on there again sometime shortly. Never dull moment in Cream's World. Always something fun happening for sure.
Always. All right, so everyone that's popped onto my site, or if you're listening to this on the podcast, I really appreciate you for tuning in and supporting myself and my homie Vino. Have a great day, and thanks for being a part of Cream's World.